This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You know, I talked about the American Music Awards, and it was just an awful production, a terrible show, but they did do this Rod Stewart tribute at the end of the show, and that was okay, although it's just... Look, I know rock stars are going to do their thing. It's just a little uncomfortable to see Rod in this... formation with the you know, with the tennis shoes on and the sparkles and everything.
Yeah.
I will say this though, you know, I saw him one time at Summerfest in Milwaukee. This goes back 20 years, and it was when they were doing like half the show as Rod Stewart in the hits, and then half the show was when he was doing the classics. Remember, he did the classics and he had like a, you know, an orchestra with him. Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That was really, really good. Now I saw him the last time he came through St. Louis. Maybe it wasn't the last time. Maybe it was the second to last time. And he even admitted that night that his voice wasn't quite there. But look, I'm a fan from many years back. But that award show the other night was so baffling to me. The way that they were trying to piece it together. Whoever produced that show did such a terrible job. But maybe wow. I should go and watch the end of the bit with Rod Stewart, because they did close it out with that.
I remember being a little kid and Rod Stewart was on somewhere, and I was. He was always too old for me. He did that, you know, "Do You Think I'm Sexy?" And I remember being, I don't know, maybe a teenager and thinking,
yeah.
"No, you're old."
Yeah.
Right?
That was back then, right?
Right. And so yeah. Now I'm just, wow.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, it's funny. I remember, I know I've told you this story, but I remember a text message from like 2 years ago. And my son, Aiden, who's the teacher in Chicago now, and he's 25 years old, goes, "Hey, did you take me to a Rod Stewart concert at some point?" And I said, and here's what I said, "No." I said, "Worse, it was a Barry Manilow concert at Chaffetz." But the hair, you know.
I do see it now that
yeah.
You would say that.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we got Sue's News coming up. But then Scott Jennings is going to join us. I want to set something up here because there's this great profile piece that's in this publication I wasn't even familiar with, Mishpacha, Jewish Family Weekly. And it really is a great piece about Scott. It gives a lot of his background that people wouldn't know about. But it starts with the story of something that happened in April 2 years ago on CNN. Here's a little nugget that I didn't know, and I'll ask him about this here in a few minutes. We played this audio because it was so remarkable. He goes on with Randy Weingarten, who is the president of the American Federation of Teachers. And Randy Weingarten, we're going to talk with David Zweig, who's written a book about COVID and things that happened tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour.
All right.
David's been a guest before, but he's going to revisit this because I think his book is so important. But she's so responsible for the damage inflicted on these kids across the country. But what's interesting about what happened is typically, and this is how the story reads, at the last minute, Jennings is about to go on. Randy's a guest, right? So Scott's about to go on the set. The producers decide at the last minute to keep Randy Weingarten on the set with Allison Camerota, who's the host. And that, I guess, the way they describe it in here is a break from standard protocol, because typically guests exit after their segment. But this time, she's going to stay, joining the panel. So Scott Jennings moves in, and he says, and this is the quote from the piece, "I looked at the stage manager and said, 'You're putting her out there with me?' And the stage manager nodded. He says, 'I had 60 seconds to channel every frustrated mom and dad in America.' And this is what it sounded like." I think a lot of people remember this.
"Don't know each other, but speaking on behalf of millions of American parents, I have 4 at home. I had to teach them at home. My wife had to teach them at home. I am stunned at what you have said this week about your claiming to have wanted to reopen schools. I think you'll find that most parents believe you were the tip of the spear of school closures. There are numerous statements you made over the summer of 20, scaring people to death about the possibility of opening schools. And I hear no remorse whatsoever about the generational damage that's been done to these kids. I have 2 kids with learning differences. Do you know how hard it is for them to learn at home and not in a classroom that was designed for them? And for you to sit in front of Congress and the American people and say, 'Oh, I wanted to open them the whole time.' I am shocked. I'm stunned. I'm stunned." And there are millions of parents who feel the exact same way.
Yes.
You can hear his voice quivering,
yes,
a little bit, because he was thrown into that moment. And he has so much more confidence now, because that's what happens. But that was an authentic moment.
Yes.
And this is what that piece kind of focuses in on. One of the reasons he's become so popular nationally is he's saying the things that so many people have wanted to say. Rush Limbaugh is a good example of that, certainly in a different era. We try to be an example of that. But he's going to join us here after Sue's news. So I wanted to point toward that, because that's an incredible backstory that even I was unaware of how that moment came together. All right, let's do this here. This afternoon.
"These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?"
"We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging."
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, it's National Paperclip Day.
Of course it
so
is.
So I thought I'd mention that. And National Coca Bean Day. You know, the chicken dish that they, it has it's a French thing, but man, is it delicious. Coca bean.
I don't think I know what that is.
Yeah. Oh, you should try some.
You know,
look it up.
I don't know who is doing it over here, but someone, I guess, gets bored in the morning.
Look at that.
Oh, my
gosh. If you're looking on the camera,
yes,
you see a bunch of linked paper clips that are sitting over here. It's either Mark Cox or Annie Fry, but someone is having a good time with the paper clips. So in honor of National Paperclip Day.
Thank you for that.
I don't want to minimize National Paperclip Day, because quite honestly, and I think Fred, if he were here, he'll be back on Monday, he would take a stand on this. We still include paper clips in,
yes,
our, you know, in our show prep. They're very important to our packets that Fred puts together.
My husband, a big fan of the large paper clip, for some reason doesn't like the small,
he
likes
goes
the
large.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Can't blame
okay
a guy.
Yeah, you can't.
See? Yeah. Well, on this day in history, in 1942, sometimes I like to take it back, Bing Crosby recorded this song, and it was a hot spring day when he did so.
That's funny that it was, you know, in the spring, right? I think that happens with a lot of Christmas albums, because they have to come out at Christmas.
Right.
They're not recorded at that time.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
I'll tell you what.
It's very calming.
It is. Mark, that's what I was going to say. The older I get, well, I think I've always liked the old, old Christmas songs, but the older I get, the more I love those. Obviously, I wasn't around in 1942, but I really like these old guys and the voice and the calm and the peace. I don't know. I like it.
I like it, too.
I just hate listening to it outside of Christmas.
I know.
Do you really?
Problems.
Does it,
yeah,
feel like
when,
a problem?
When you sent me the link to this earlier, I don't think I've ever been mad at you. Sue, are you kidding me? This is what we're doing today?
Well, and then 48 years ago today. Okay, I also, back in the day when Mark Reardon and I were the Ute. We would turn on the TV on a weekend, and I'll tell you what, if it were sports, and of course, Ethan, there were only three or four channels.
Oh, the horror.
And if it was, think about
child
that.
Child abuse. It was think child abuse, that. Wasn't it?
You guys do.
Yeah.
God.
We went outside and we played is what we did.
That's right. We played jarts and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, kickball.
We almost put metal spikes through our head to Sue's point.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we did.
But sometimes you would turn on and it would be racing. Now, the entire racing thing that I remember from the 70s was A.J. Foyt. He won everything. And on this day in history, 48 years ago, A.J. Foyt became the first four-time winner of the Indy 500. So I'm throwing that up today because I could see it like it's yesterday on the bottom of the scroll. A.J. Foyt wins. I just like him for no apparent reason.
What year did you say this was?
A.J. Foyt.
What year?
1977.
My dad was at that Indy 500.
No way!
Really?
I was just talking to him about it last weekend, of course, right? With the 500 going. And I was like, what year did you go? Because I knew A.J. Foyt won the year that they went. My dad's family, all big racing fans. And he said 77.
Oh, my God.
You know, I would not make we talked about the race last week. I'm not going to make the case that it's not popular. It's immensely popular. But back then, there was a lot of focus on the Indy 500. It was such a big deal nationally because we had three stations, and it was on one of the three stations, right? Yeah.
And that was the one that Janet Guthrie was in. She was the first woman to qualify, but she had to drop out after the 27th lap. She had some engine trouble. Mm. So he got to see that history, too. That's kind of cool. All right, and here's more modern music. Well, modern compared to Bing Crosby. On this day in history, 41 years ago, in 1984, Tina Turner released her big comeback album, Private Dancer.
So good.
Oh, I love it.
And I do get into a Tina Turner mood every once in a while.
Same.
And this album is just outstanding.
Prisoner of your love. Entangled.
I mentioned to Sue during the break, I was so lucky because she was on my bucket list. It goes back 20 years ago at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee. I bought a ticket, and it was, I think at the time, it was one of the most expensive concert tickets I ever bought. I think it was around $250.
Oh,
but I went by myself. Yeah, I'm telling you.
She were so smart.
You too kind of eclipsed that, but 20 years ago, $250.
That's
bucks.
A lot of money.
I know, but I wanted to see her, and she did not disappoint. It would be, if I'm doing my top 10 concerts based on my memory, which is not very good, she's definitely in the top 10. Maybe in the top five. That's how good she was.
I am so impressed with you for doing that. I wish I would have done that more.
I just love that you mentioned modern music and then you went to Tina Turner.
Into the 80s, right? Yeah, I know.
Come on.
Yeah,
it's more modern than 1942.
That's a good
this
point,
too.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, we've got a new report out that claims that the perfect vacation lasts for 11 days. Costs about $8,800 a person, say what, and is 3 hours from home. I what? 3 hours from home and $8,800. Why are you paying that much? 3 hours from home.
You ever heard about Kansas City, Missouri?
Oh, my gosh.
Do you wonders.
I am not going there.
That's 4 hours, but that's the part that doesn't make sense. I can see the 11 days. I can see the 8,000.
Totally get it. And if I had that much money, I'd have a better vacation. A
couple time zones away might be a little better.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. 63% of people would be looking for somewhere in a beach. That would probably be me. 53% want to enjoy the great outdoors. 43% want to explore major cities or historical locations. Okay, that's me again. And 31% like outdoor attractions and landmarks.
You know, Fred is in Florida. We know that, right? And
yes.
Ethan has been doing, so Ethan plays such a great role on the show all the time. But when Fred's gone, he has to step it up and he does the booking. Ethan, what percentage of people that we've reached out to this week have been in Florida?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
70%.
Probably. I was going to say plus 50%.
Wait, seriously?
I'm not even joking.
Or at least on vacation. Yeah, and quite a few of them have been in Florida.
Yeah, at least on vacation. But again, a lot in Florida.
That's
lot of them.
So funny. Good. I hope they make a whole bunch of money down there and live forever. Okay. According to a new report, you know those moving walkways in airports? Do you like them? Do you use them?
I like them. And I walk on them. I don't just, you know, because you kind of got, if you just want to stand on them, you got to get to the right. But
yes.
I do walk on them and it makes your trip faster. Yes, I like them.
Ethan?
Big fan.
Well, apparently they're going away because airport kiosks say they're losing business when people get on those things. Now I mostly see the Houston airport because I go down there to see my brother, and where they place them there are not by kiosks.
Same in Minneapolis.
Yeah, they put them in places that aren't so you could get from one wing to the other. Mm-hmm. But I can see that point. So they're saying in new airports, they might not build them or take them out of current ones.
But my experience is, and I think this holds for here, is most of them are somewhat separated from, you know, the Starbucks and the restaurants,
right,
and things
that's
like
what
that.
I would say.
Yeah. Now, when we took Lufthansa to Germany on the Greece trip, I remember being on some of those, and I would actually get off and do a U-turn because I'm like, oh, there's a sandwich place I want to go to, or
see,
I saw something.
Exactly. To me, if you really want that,
yeah, you'll
you
go.
Will get off of the thing. Go ahead.
I don't understand this. I think your guys' mindset completely makes sense. Are people too lazy to where, oh, I have to go back and to go to the place that
apparently,
I want? That's ridiculous.
They say that the design makes them inefficient to use, and they're not very wide, and to try to get walkers and standers and baggage on there. But you just move to the right, people.
Yeah, it's not that
and
difficult.
And then we go around.
And then how much money is going to be spent to take those damn things out,
exactly,
too? Think about that.
So we'll just have to see if that happens, but it's a thing that's coming out now. Oh, I love this story so much, so you two have to sit through. A woman from Nebraska named Toby Elder is trending. Now, here's what happened. She was supposed to get married this month, but she and her fiancé broke up 2 days before the wedding, and she thought, you know what? I'm just going to go on this honeymoon trip to Hawaii anyway. It's paid for. I'll just go by myself. Well, she got there, and she just felt lonely until her 68-year-old dad, Robert, texted and said he was on his way. And there is the cutest video. She posted a video of him walking out of the airport and wrote, "When you're heartbroken on what was supposed to be your honeymoon in Hawaii, so your dad flies 2,500 miles to hang out with you."
Wow.
It is one of the cutest things you'll ever see.
I can hear the emotion in your voice.
You're getting emotional over there?
Yeah.
I feel so bad for her. And to see our dad, and he's not like, he's not super fit dad.
Yeah.
So he's kind of...
He's on the
roughly,
walkways.
Yeah, he's getting... He's kind of getting off the plane. Oh, it's just so sweet.
It's an expensive breakup. My goodness.
But I love it. So
great
sorry
story.
About that.
There you go.
Listen to it. Okay, and finally, it's Sue's News, today's Random Fact. Were you going to say something?
No.
All right.
I'll say something after the Random Fact. You'll see.
All right. The Tour de France started as a publicity stunt, and it started in 1903 to promote a daily sports newspaper called L'Auto. I did not know that. And
as
that's it for Susan.
A longtime fan of Le Tour and one of the weirdos that still watches it every day, which is a lot easier now because I think they put it on, it's either on Peacock or Paramount Plus, probably Peacock
probably
because
Peacock.
Of NBC. But that is fascinating. I don't think I ever knew that. What I was going to say, and I was jumping the gun on the random fact, is we came into the segment with Rod Stewart. I've made an executive decision to go out here with Tina Turner, and we're coming back with Scott Jennings.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, don't forget, tomorrow we have the Reardon Roundtable. We'll have on the panel, Jane will be back. She was off last week. John Gaskin, also our friend Gene Evans. We'll get Paul Hall with some entertainment recommendations. Frank Cusimano from KSDK. I mentioned David Zweig and his book. We've had him on once before, but I feel very passionately that David's book is getting a little overlooked here. It's about COVID and the lies that we're told. It's called An Abundance of Caution. So he'll be with us tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour. And then Ethan and I are going to talk a little baseball with Scotty Warman tomorrow, which is going to be fun as the Cardinals return into action down in Texas. Well, I mentioned the other day, Scott Jennings came in with our mutual friend Joe Arnold to the baseball game on Sunday. We had a fantastic time. He is with us this afternoon, 97.1 FM Talk political insider, CNN political contributor. How are you, Jennings? Are you there? How are you, Jennings?
I'm great, and a profitable trip it was. We saw the Redbirds pull out a nice victory on Sunday.
Now, you told me on Sunday you might have gone to Baltimore, but you canceled that because of the rain. It was real rainy the last couple of nights, right?
It was, and I wanted to go, and it rained all day, and I thought for sure they were going to cancel, but they got it in. They played in the slop, and again, the Cardinals emerged victorious, another series win for the Redbirds, so we're on a streak right now, man. It's amazing.
We may return to baseball here at the end of this conversation, but let's get into some stuff. You sent me this piece from, I was not familiar with this organization, Mishpacha Jewish Family Weekly. And the subheadline is, CNN Scott Jennings is the personal voice for the unheard masses. As a friend of yours, I can kind of tease you about that a little bit. But I read the piece, and this is really an outstanding profile that they did about you. And one of the things that they kind of focused in on, and I remember playing this audio in the first place, is the moment on the CNN set, and I guess this goes back 2 years ago, April, when Randy Weingarten was a guest. And you can tell the story from here, but you're about to go on at that point, and typically you would not have been on with her at the same time, right?
That's right. At that time, it was really unusual for them to have a guest, like a newsmaker, and then for that person to stay on the panel. And as I was going through the door, I realized they were planning to leave her out there with us. And I said to the producer, "You're leaving her out there with me?" And he said, "Yeah, she wants to do it." And I just shook my head and went out to the set. I listened to her interview. Now, at that time, she was on this media tour trying to whitewash or rewrite history about saying she wanted to open the schools, when every person knows she was literally the leader of keeping the schools closed for as long as possible. And so I just let her have it on behalf of my four kids and on behalf of millions of parents everywhere. That was a huge moment. I think I was the first real parent she'd ever met. And it showed on the air.
But it also represents what they kind of said about you being the voice of the unheard masses, because I think people felt, I know my audience feels this way, even maybe a little bit about me sometimes, but certainly about you, that you were saying something that they believed in, but they never heard, certainly on a place like CNN.
That's the best kind of punditry, when you can speak for as many people as possible. I mean, most of the people, you know, in commentary are living in Washington, living in New York. You know, they're not really living out in middle America, living with the decisions of the edicts of the elites. So occasionally I get to bring that truth, that middle America honesty, right to the set. And I certainly got to bring it to Randy Weingarten that night. And that's kind of what I'm trying to channel in this job right now, is half the country, a little more than half the country, sometimes 80% of the country has a point of view that's not represented in cable news. And I'm trying to channel that and give those people a chance to turn on the TV and say, hey, that guy speaks for me, and I think it's working right now.
Well, one personal note, just because when I share the story of how we got together many years ago, I talk about Joe, our mutual friend Joe Arnold, and I still think it's amazing, and they mentioned it in this piece. You used to, barely out of high school, work at WHAS as Joe's news guy in the middle of the night. I used to listen to you. I didn't know who you were until about, you know, 8 years ago, because Joe reminded me, but you were the news guy sitting with him as I'm in Milwaukee listening to this big signal from WHAS, not unlike KMOX, at like 3 a.m. And I thought that was just amazing. And that's kind of how you cut your teeth. And you were right out of high school there.
That's right. I was a news anchor at WHAS in Louisville, and Joe was on overnight. And I did the news from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. every night. And then I would go get a couple hours of sleep, and then I'd go to class and halfway stay awake for macroeconomics or philosophy or whatever it was. And I made it through college, but the main experience I had there was being a news guy and being a journalist. And that experience is with me every day. I learned the power of broadcasting and the power of the spoken word media. And B, you know, I approach my job today with the heart of a journalist. I'm trying to say things that are true. I'm trying to ask the right questions, and I'm trying to put truth over narrative, which is what I learned at WHAS and from Joe Arnold and from my news director there. And I mean, I've carried those lessons with me now for over 25 years.
And you know, that's much of what I do here on the show as well. And that's one of the reasons I enjoy having you on as a guest. So let's talk about some issues here. Elon and the big, beautiful bill, maybe saying some things that might surprise some people, like it can't be big and beautiful at the same time. So what are your thoughts? I had Jason Smith on, of course, the House Ways and Means chairman, a couple of days ago. I'm not maybe thrilled with everything in this bill. You have to get something to the Senate. I don't know what's going to happen there, but what are your thoughts on what got put together here?
Well, I think they did the best they could given the dynamics in the House. And I likened it on the air to, you know, they needed to get a first down. So they got a first down getting it out of the House. And now they'll go over to the Senate and try to move the ball down the field a little bit more. The one thing about Elon's work at DOGE and this bill is that they're not exactly compatible. They cannot touch discretionary spending in this bill, because it's a reconciliation package. So they can't just go in and cut things. They would have to do that in a separate package called a rescissions package. And I think the Speaker of the House, as far as I've been told, is dedicated to doing this. They need to do it. They need to do both. They need to cut taxes and all the other things that happen in this bill, invest in the border security, deregulate energy, et cetera, et cetera. They also then need to come back and codify the DOGE cuts. And they need to make going through the government and going through it line by line the way Elon did a common perpetual and ongoing thing. It is the Republican responsibility to do this. If they do not do it, it will be a massive failure. It just happens to happen here that it needs to happen in two different vehicles.
Yeah.
And I hope the Republican leaders understand that and then they follow through on it.
Well, I think they understand it, but the following through, that becomes, again, a math equation, right?
Well, it is a math equation, but the math that I'm looking at is we're nearly $40 trillion in debt. And this, the path we're on is unsustainable. Now, I interviewed Elon for my book that I have coming out this fall, A Revolution of Common Sense, available for pre-order on Amazon. Please do it today. And he told me that the reason he took this job in the first place was, quote, to try to figure out how to keep America from going bankrupt. He dedicated this portion of his life to trying to light a fire under people in Washington that this debt is unsustainable, that the spending habits are unsustainable, and that something has to be done. And so I think the impulse was correct. I think he found some amazing things that need to be cut, outrageous things that need to be cut. But more than anything, he should have just sent a message that, hey, it is your responsibility, Washington politicians, to not let us go over the cliff where we devalued the currency to the point where it's worthless and where the United States will never dig out of this hole of debt that we're in. And so I hope they listen to this guy, because he's on the right track, and not too many people are bold enough to call it out the way he has. I hope they take some inspiration from him.
Scott Jennings is back with us this afternoon. We've talked about this over the years. You spent at least a couple of semesters teaching a class in an adjunct way at Harvard University. And you did. Who did you do that with? I can't remember, because it was you and somebody else who was doing it at the same time, right?
Yep, I was a fellow at the Harvard Institute of Politics, and then I continued on there for a few years, actually, teaching a class in the Harvard Kennedy School, which is the graduate school. And for most of the time, it was Robbie Mook, who was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, and I did it as a bipartisan class. Later, he got deployed, actually, as part of the military, and I ended up doing it on my own. But it was a good experience. I met a lot of interesting people. But yeah, I spent some time at Harvard.
Well, I always was impressed because I think that would be very valuable to hear different perspectives in a class if you're at college, because I wonder about that these days. But what are your thoughts on what's going on with Harvard right now and the president? And there's, you know, Harvard seems to be doubling, tripling down.
Well, I think that Donald Trump has correctly pointed out that Harvard and the rest of these Ivy League schools, Columbia, for instance, are doing a terrible job at combating the anti-Semitism on their campus. They've not protected the Jewish students. And also the admission of all these foreign students who pay full freight. I know why they do it. But what they're doing is they're importing a lot of people who get educated at a prestigious American university, all the while bringing their anti-Western ideology, anti-American ideology. You go on these campuses and you see these people who hate the West, they hate America, and yet we're allowing them to get educated in our flagship universities here. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I think it's one of these common sense things that Donald Trump is calling out. And, you know, he's obviously waging a battle against Harvard and some of these other colleges that are engaged in this. It is not good for America to have foreign students here who do not love America. If we're bringing people here who hate America, who hate the West, and want to take advantage of our system and tear down America and tear down the West, that's stupid. That's crazy. And so I think most people actually agree with President Trump on this, and we'll see where the battle goes. But I'm in full agreement and accord with him on this. These universities ought to be America first universities. And I mean that in that people who are there should love America and want to build up America, not tear it down.
Scott, I had this great Uber ride a couple of Saturdays ago. I always like to sometimes talk with the Uber drivers. This guy had an American flag on his hat. He was from, he was from Africa. I'm forgetting, Ghana. And he just loved this country. He loved Missouri. He loved the country. And I started, you know, asking him some questions along the lines of what you hear in the media, because you hear a lot of people that are here that don't want to assimilate, that don't appreciate the freedoms. And one of the things that he said in this conversation is sometimes it's the little things that we all take for granted. And the example that he used was like you turn a faucet on and water comes out of it, right? So I bring that up because we want people to assimilate. We want people to come here and be immigrants. We want people to contribute, but they also have to appreciate the country and want to be a part of the country and not hate the country, to your point.
Yes. I mean, this is the greatest country on earth. It's the greatest system of government and nation that's ever been devised. And people who come here ought to really buy into that. And unfortunately, a lot of people have been allowed to come here either through the student visa program or just walk across the border, let's be honest, illegally. A lot of people have come here who don't agree with that. They hate America. They want to tear down America. They think America's rotten at the core. They'd like to import their anti-Western civilization mindset here. I mean, you know, look, Europe is also dealing with a migration crisis.
Oh,
they're
no
importing
doubt.
A bunch of people who hate the West. They fundamentally hate the West. They hate our way of life. And we're going to have to decide as a culture, Mark, how do we want to live? Do we want to live in the greatest nation ever devised under our system, under Western values? Or do we want to live under this anti-Western, anti-American, hateful ideology that's being brought in here? I think I know the answer to that.
Oh,
I know
too.
What 90% of America would say.
And absolutely.
So that's who Trump's speaking up for.
Hey, we talked about this a little at the game, but I think Marco Rubio, if you want to look at the camera, he just seems to be killing it as Secretary of State.
Oh, my gosh. He is doing a great job. Total all-star, clear communicator, handling the toughest issues, really articulating the plans and the vision of the Trump administration better than anybody that President Trump has appointed. And, you know, they keep giving him extra jobs. Like, you know, you can always tell the people that are doing well because at work they give those people extra things to do. That's Marco Rubio right now. And what he has done is nothing short of miraculous in terms of reorganizing the State Department, handling the student visa issue. You know, he's out there canceling these student visas. He talks about the migration crisis more articulately than anybody in government right now. Rubio is the total all-star of this cabinet. There's no question about it.
Hey, I shamefully have not watched the whole segment. I keep trying to get some time. But how was the Bill Maher experience last weekend?
Well, first of all, shame on you for not insulting me in this way. Secondly, it was amazing. And the whole time I was thinking, well, I hope Mark Reardon sees this. I mean, it would be amazing if he watched this and still haven't done it. No, it was a great experience. They treated me great. We recorded it at the CBS Studios, Television City. So I knew one day I'd either be on The Price is Right or Bill Maher. Turns out it was Bill Maher. But we had fun. And, Bill, you know, obviously Bill's a liberal, but he's a free speech guy. He's a common sense guy. We don't agree on everything, probably not much of anything. But this guy believes in free speech. You know, I think the left, part of the problem on the left is illiberalism, meaning they want to shut down speech. And Bill Maher is an advocate for free speech. And so even though we don't agree on a lot of political issues, we agree on free speech and its importance. And so I was grateful for the invitation and grateful to make a new friend out there. He didn't stay around for the after party much because he was off to watch the Knicks that night, who did win. Now they've run into problems in the playoffs, but he's a big Knicks guy.
So let's get back to baseball here just a little bit. This has been amazing. You and Joe came in. You got to see a great game. They win this series against the Orioles. But damn it, Scott, the Cubs are pretty good, aren't they? We're still three games back.
So the most frustrating text chain I'm on is with David Axelrod from Chicago, my fellow CNN commentator. He's a Cubs guy. And I text him every day. We won again, but so did you. We can't make up any ground. And he texts me back. We won again, and so did you, and we can't pull away from you. So right now the Cubs and the Cards are pulling away from this division because they're both playing inspired baseball. The Cubs are outrageous. Pete Crow Armstrong is outrageous right now, and the Cardinals just refuse to die. So I love it that we're winning, but damn these Cubs. I mean,
I know. I've had to admit
they're crazy right now.
You know, my family, most of my family up there in Chicago, they're Cubs fans, and I have an aunt who is very close to me who's down in Florida most of the time, and she was teasing me the other day when she saw our picture. But look, have we even played the Cubs? We got a series coming up in June on the 23rd. These are stacked a little differently because of all the interleague play, but that is going to be, I mean, talk about exciting baseball when the Cardinals play the Cubs this summer.
Well, that game we saw on Sunday at Busch Stadium, it had almost a playoff atmosphere to it, especially that end of that game where Arenado made that amazing catch up against the wall, hurt himself. If you thought that was sort of playoff atmosphere type, get ready for the Cubs series because that's going to be wild when we play them. Both fan bases will be going crazy. And you know what? It's great for baseball.
It is.
Like, it's great for St. Louis. It's great for Chicago. The two most storied franchises in the division, both good, both going at it. Like, it's great for baseball. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it was great to get together with you and Joe. And what I said outside of anything else, you guys are great friends, but you're also just two of the biggest baseball fans, not only Cardinals fans, but two of the biggest baseball fans that I know. And you know, I appreciate that passion.
We love the game, and we love St. Louis. We love the Cardinals, and we love you, Mark Reardon. So we appreciate very much the invitation to be there. And my family had fun, and the kids loved it, so we're grateful for the trip in. I hadn't been since 2023, so to get back into Busch Stadium was a special day.
God bless you, Scott Jennings. You know I love you. Thanks so much for coming in the other day, and you have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Thanks, Mark. See ya.
We have Dwayne Patterson coming up after the top of the hour. He writes at Dwayne at hotair.com, but he has the Dwayne's World podcast. I was reversing that here for a second. We're going to get updated on the big, beautiful bill. We'll also talk with Congressman Bob Onder in the next hour. Sue, we haven't really had, I've been meaning to for a while, to have a more in-depth conversation on the air about the weight loss drugs, Ozempic and Wegovy. And, you know, I think we all, let's be honest, we all have people in our lives that we know that we're challenged with losing weight, may have been a little bit too, I don't want to say everyone's obese, because not that's a different category, but there's a lot of people using these drugs right now. The Washington Post did this piece a couple of days ago, which talked about the challenges that the doctors have. So they started it this way. They say, Laura Davison is an obesity medicine doctor and professor at West Virginia University, but a growing part of her job is not something she trained for in medical school, looking for the best deal she can get for her patients. And she says in the piece, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane to try to keep up with it. So you and I probably have similar opinions on some of this. I think that there's plenty of people that can do this without the help of medication. It's become very easy now with this medication. I don't know what the implications will be for the future. I used to be someone, I always like to say I wasn't obese, but when I was in high school, I wore the husky sizes. And, you know, I decided at one point in my life, I'm going to try to keep myself not beyond, and this is something I've achieved. I had a 36-inch waist at the time. Mm-hmm. I really kind of sit between 31 and 32 right now. But I never wanted to be that big, and I've focused on diet and exercise and trying to do it the right way. I'm not criticizing anyone because they want to lose weight, but this whole maze of weight loss drugs is fascinating right now. Not all in a good way, you know?
I know, and I just don't like the idea of getting, just using a drug to do something. This is well established by me, but I also wonder what happens. There are side effects with this, but then what happens when all these people go off of it?
Well, that's a very good question. But what this focuses in on is the insurance company. Now, look, I think if someone is obese and the insurance company is saying, look, what's the end result of that when it comes to diabetes or heart implications or anything, right? But what they highlight here is that this stuff is in excess of $1,000 a month. The cost of a single prescription is not extraordinary for health plans and employers, but the pressure of millions of people trying to get this. It would be one thing in, I don't know how you'd have a marker to say, okay, you're this percentage overweight, so then you qualify for this. I'm sure that the insurance companies have, you know, things that they analyze that way, but they're trying to cap the expenses by putting up hurdles before covering this, or they end coverage altogether because the insurance companies are getting hammered here. So they say in the story that the doctors and the patients now have to file insurance appeals. They're trying to find lower cost alternatives. They're trying to find strategies to ration the doses of their drugs.
Yeah.
So it's getting crazy out there.
Well, you're right. I think you would have to say, at what point does it become coverable by insurance? Do you have to be X amount overweight and then it's covered? Or do you have to, and there are already knockoffs, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, well, I don't know about knockoffs, but they get approved.
Yeah,
sure.
They get approved. But you know what I mean. Not the main one that started. I just think it's a tangled web that is unnecessary in most cases.
Well, but to your point then, let's say that you are someone, you needed to lose weight, you're having success with this, and they say that in 2024, it was 28% of patients for obesity had the GLP-1 prescriptions. Health plans denied coverage for 62% of prescriptions. So then, to your point, what happens when I don't know enough about the medication, maybe we should
do
a longer segment, but then what happens once you reach that point where you're, because it zaps your appetite to a certain extent, right?
Yeah.
See, I don't have to take those things because I have anxiety and it zaps my appetite and I'm being somewhat, serious about that. But then if you stop taking it, well, the appetite's going to come back. If you don't have lifestyle changes, you're still going to have the weight that gets gained again.
Right. So you've not really taking care of the issue, which is a lifestyle change to begin with. So it sets you up to go back and forth and back and forth. Plus, I don't like the reliance on drugs that everybody has.
Well, I don't like it either. And, you know, I will tell you that if you would have heard me talk about anxiety and depression 30 years ago, and when I would hear people struggling with this and having to rely on medication, I would have thought, that's crazy. I'll never have that. I found out in a very harsh way, unfortunately, that I did need some medication. And, you know, you can do things to offset these things. I firmly believe in intense exercise and the benefits of that. But it's a very interesting puzzle, and people are trying to navigate it. And I don't know if there's just one right answer, because I think some people do need medicine, even for this. But a lot of people are taking the easy way out, too, is I think what you're saying.
Yeah.
Dwayne Patterson's coming up. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.